Okay. Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Menachas Daf Nun Zayin. We are holding on Daf Nun Vav and Beis. We are at Amar Rabbi Ami Hiniach Sa'ar Al Gabe Isa. This is four lines from the end of the page on Daf Nun Vav and Beis. She is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha LaShalom, Neshama Shevin Aliyah. And we thank him for the continued sponsorship of our Daf Yomi Shir. So the first thing we're going to talk about is passively causing chimutz of a mincha, where you don't do anything to actively be machmitz it, but you just put something in it and let it be machmitz itself. Then the Gemara is going to talk about how much of the meat needs to get cooked in order to be chayiv for cooking on Shabbos. What if you cook only one side of the meat, not the other side of the meat? What if it's only kemachal ben drusai on one side? What if there are two or three different spots that get to machal ben drusai? So we're going to compare that to the din of a chimutz of a karban mincha. Then the Gemara is going to discuss whether the isser of being mechametz a mincha applies even before the kmitza or only to the kometz itself. So we're going to say that we're going to learn from pasuk that it does apply to the whole mincha before the kmitza, and we're also going to talk about whether it applies to a mincha psula. And the Gemara is going to learn from pasuk that it does not apply to a mincha psula. Then the Gemara is going to raise two shailas about how far the iser of chimutz of a korban mincha goes. Does it apply even after the mincha was already yotza chutz la'azar, so it became pasul anyway? Does it apply even when it's already Rosh Shal Mizbeach? And the Gemara is going to leave both of those shailas as a teku. Then we're going to have two different opinions of what we learn from the from Asher Takrivu, from the pasuk that says Asher Takrivu, and we're going to question each opinion. And in that context, we're going to bring up a major machlokas whether a kli yavesh, whether kelim that are only meant to handle dry measures, are considered to be klei shares and have the ability to be mekadesh the contents of those kelim. And then halfway down on basic Gemara's going to quote a brisa that seems to have absolutely nothing to do with anything else that we're discussing, meaning the whole daf is really about the issue of being of making a korban mincha into chametz. The Gemara is going to talk about the brisa is going to talk about the gedarim of the issur to burn karbanos that are mimenu le'ishim, that the halacha is that when you have a karban where part of it is supposed to get burnt on the mizbeach, so there's an issur to burn the part that's not supposed to be burnt on the mizbeach. So we're going to talk about the gedarim of that, meaning is lechem apanim an example of such a carbon? Is shtei alechem an example of such a carbon? And that will bring us pretty much to the end of the daf. So let's begin again. We're holding Amar Rabbi Ami, four lines from the end of the page, on daf nun vav am beis. It says Amar Rabbi Ami, hiniach sa'or al gabi isa v'alach v'yashav lov nischam tzomei aleha. If you put sa'or on your dough and then you just leave it alone and it becomes chametz on its own, chayev aleha k'maisa Shabbos. You're chayev for being machmitz that carbon mincha. Just like if you put meat on coals on Shabbos and it cooks on its own. By putting the meat on the hot coals, you violated the Isra of Bishul on Shabbos. So by putting the Sa'ar in the dough, you violate the Isra of making the dough into Chametz. Now, Tosus points out that the Chiddush of Rabbi Ami is that even though it says lo se'ose and lo te'ofe, which sounds like that it's only when you do an Asiyah, when the Chimetz happens with an Asiyah Mamish, so only then it's going to be Aser. So you do the Lisha, you do the Aricha, you do the Afia, you do the Kituf, right? That there are action-related things, but even this is considered an Asiyah. Even just putting in the Sa'ar is considered an Asiyah. Tosus points out that the Lechor, it's difficult. Rabbi Ami should have said a bigger Chiddush. He should have said that if you knead the dough and you leave it alone and you just let it become Chametz on its own, that you're going to be Chayiv. Lechor, that would have been a bigger... Putting Sa'ar in is somewhat active. It's something that you're doing in order to make it chametz. So based on what Tosus says in Dibra Maskel Masa, that the case of Rabbi Ami is when you put the Sa'or only on one side of the Isa, and it's not mischametz so much, even on that side, but on the other side, it's not mischametz at all. So there's a chiddush dafka in such a case, where you do the chimetz in a way where it's not, the Sfasemus points out, that you're doing the chimetz in a way where it's not not becoming chametz proportionally throughout the dough. It's only becoming chametz on one side, so it's clearly not the derech to be machmitz in such a way. So that's the chiddush, because if you just leave the dough for a while till the whole thing becomes chametz, it becomes chametz all at the same time, and the whole thing becomes, that's a normal way for something to become chametz. But you're putting sa'ar on one side, and you're letting it become chametz just on that one side, just a little bit, and then you're baking it before it goes any further, that's still going to be considered the iser. That's the chiddush of Rabbi Ami. So again, Rabbi Ami taught us, you put sa'ar on the dough, and then it becomes chametz on its own. You're chayiv, just like when you put meat on coals, and then it cooks on its own on Shabbos. U'maisa Shabbos ke agav nami mechayiv. Well, wait a second, are you chayiv and maisa Shabbos in such a case? Rabbi Yochanan, hiniach basal gabi kachalim, that if you put meat on top of coals, hipich bo chayiv, that if you flip the meat and you do some action in the cooking process, you're chayiv, but lo hipich bo pater. But if you don't flip the meat over, you don't do anything, then you're gonna be pater. So apparently, just putting the meat on the coals, you're not going to be chayiv. So how come just putting the sa'or in the dough is enough to be chayiv for being machmitzit? So Amarava, my chayiv nami dekamer kemaisat tzli shel Shabbos. When Rabbi Ami says that you're chayiv aleh kemaisat Shabbos, he does not mean that we literally equate it with Maisa Shabbos. He just means that you're chayiv on placing it alone, just like you're chayiv on Maisa Shabbos when you're mahapich. But in a chinami, if you were to do Maisa Shabbos where you place it alone, you just place it on the coals, that would not be enough to be chayiv for Maisa Shabbos. So says Gemara, really? Let's talk about this chiyuv of bishul on Shabbos when you are chayiv, when you're not chayiv. Because what we see, just seem to conclude, is you put a steak on the grill and you are not chayiv for Maisa Shabbos. It's only if you man the grill and you continue flipping it that you're going to be chayiv for melacha on Shabbos. So gufa, Amar Rabbi Aruchan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, hiniach basar al gabi gecholim, that Rabbi Aruchan said in Rabbi Yochanan, that the halacha we just said, that if you put meat on top of hot coals, hipich bo chayiv, lo hipich bo pater, that you're only chayiv if you're hipich bo, if you flip it over, but otherwise you're pater. Well, hechidami, what exactly is the case? If you're going to say that when you don't flip it over, it doesn't get cooked, well then pshita, obviously you're going to be pater because you didn't do bishul. It's not getting cooked. No, the case must be that you put it on the grill and it's hot enough that it's actually going to get cooked, even if you don't flip it over. Well then, amay lo mechayiv. Well then, of course you should be chayiv for bishul on Shabbos. Why would you not be chayiv for putting the meat on the grill if it's actually getting cooked? So says Mer lo tzricha di lo hipich be'avi bashul mitzad echad k'machol ben drusai. That the case is that if you were not going to flip it over, on one side it would get partially cooked. It would get cooked to the point of machl ben drusai. That's machl ben drusai, according to Rashi, is shlish bishul, and according to the Rambam, is chatzi bishul. One of my talmidim sent me a picture on Purim. He dressed up as ben drusai, so he wore a ganav's outfit, and he had two pieces of meat, one that was shlish bishul, one that was chatzi bishul, and he went to visit Rav Nevensal on Purim to try to get a laugh out of Rav Nevensal. Rav Nevensal has a sense of humor, so he wasn't annoyed. He laughed. But anyway, the case is that on one side it's going to get cooked a little bit, like kamachal ben drusai, and on the other side it's not going to get cooked at all. But if you would have flipped it, it would have gotten on both sides to machal ben drusai. Now the shir chiyuv bishul on Shabbos is to machal ben drusai, that a person is chayiv for being mevashel. If you cook it enough, machal ben drusai means that it's barely edible, that it's enough that if you were really desperate, you would eat it in that way. So one is chayiv on Shabbos for cooking it to the point of machal ben drusai. But over here the case is, you only one side gets cooked to machal ben drusai if you're not mahapich bo, and the other side, and both sides get cooked to machal ben drusai if you are mahapich. So a big chiddush, it's telling us that if only one side gets to machal ben drusai, that's nothing. That's not a melacha Shabbos at all. When both sides get cooked to machal ben drusai, that's bishul b'Shabbos. When only one side gets cooked to machal ben drusai, that is not a melacha of bishul on Shabbos. Now the lashon of the Gemara was that if you're low hipich bo Pater. Pater in Hilchos Shabbos always means pater aval asr midrabanan. It does not mean that something is mutter. However, the Aglital writes that it could be that that's only when you roast it on coals, that then there's a chashash that it's going to be bali day bishul gamur. So the Chacham say, don't do something that eventually might lead to bishul gamur. But in a case where the most it's ever going to get to is machal ben rusay on one side, and it doesn't even have the potential to get to machal ben rusay on the other side, so then maybe it wouldn't even be potter, would be mutter. What about the Yisra of Chatzi Shir? So Shlom Zalman writes in the Tshuva in Chelik Aleph and Milcha Shlom and Simin Yud Aleph, he discusses why we don't say that it's at least a violation of Chatzi Shir when one side gets to Machal Ben Rusay, and he says that you have to say that it's not even a Chatzi Shir, it's a Chatzi Melacha, that it's nothing, that there's nothing that has actually happened when only one side gets to Machal Ben Rusay. So Amar Rav Avim Nitzel Bo Kigrogeres Mitzad Echad B'Makom Echad Chayiv. Now, if a shear of the size of a grogeres gets cooked on one side of the meat, in one spot on the meat, you're going to be chayiv. Now, wait a second. We just said one side gets cooked to machal ben rusay, it's zero. That's only if one side gets cooked to machal ben rusay. But if one side gets cooked mevushal kol tzarcho, even the shear grogeres gets cooked to mevushal kol tzarcho, then you're going to be chayiv, which l'chora makes a lot of sense, because you could take that piece out and you could eat it. So, in fact, the Chiddush Mamichasim L'Rashba discusses what exactly is Rava's Chiddush over here. You can't say that he's coming to be Mechadesh, that when you fully roast something, you're Chayiv, even though you only fully roasted it on one side, because the Chavra, that's a Davar Pasha. That's what the Gemara meant to ask earlier when it said, Di'i lo mahapikle nami avabashala mailo mechayiv. The Gemara had asked previously, I don't understand the case. If it's going to get cooked when you don't flip it, of course you're Chayiv. What do you think that meant? That meant that it's going to get cooked on one side fully, that of course you're going to be chayiv, and it can't be that he's coming to be mechadish that a shear grogros is enough to be chayiv, because that's pashut. You learn mesach Shabbos, and we know that the shear of bishul is if you are mevashal a shear of a grogros of food. So the chiddush of Yuchasim the Rashba suggests that the chiddush of Rava is that it's dafka b'makom echad you're going to be chayiv, but if it's shnayim u'shloshim mekomos, we're not mitstarif shnayim u'shloshim mekomos to get to the shear grogros to be mechayiv the person. If it's a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit there, and you put it all together, and it comes to sheer grogros all together, then you're not going to be chayiv. Some of the Ravina Ravashi, Makom Echolin, B'Shayim Shoshim Mekomos Lo, so that's what the Gemara zones in on. The Gemara says, ooh, that's the Chiddush, but is that true? Is it true that only a sheer grogros in one spot you're going to be chayiv? But if you have the sheer grogros by combining two or three different spots, you're not going to be chayiv? Vatnan, but there's a Mishnah Masechta Shabbos that tells us, Hakodeach Kol Shu Chayiv. When it comes to the Melacha of Bona on Shabbos, of building on Shabbos, if you make a tiny little hole, you drill a tiny little hole, you're going to be chayiv. So the Gemara questions, well, hechi dami ilei makom echad, if that tiny little hole is only in one spot, kol shulamai chazi, what have you done? A tiny little hole is not functional at all. El lav b'shayim v'shosh makomos to chazi l'tzeruf. It must be that we're talking about where you drilled two or three tiny little holes, where if a carpenter wants to make a large hole, that's often what he'll do. He'll make a couple of small holes, and then he'll combine them later by cutting through the space in between them. So since it's chazil tzarif, that's going to be chayiv. So shouldn't we say the same thing about roasting something on Shabbos, that you should be chayiv even if it's spotty, it's in a few different places, and it's chazil tzaruf, that should be enough to be chayiv? How come Rav is telling me that b'makom echad it's chayiv, but b'shnayim u'shlosha mekomos you're going to be pater? So I answer Gemara, liola b'makom echad. The case of the drilling is talking about where you drill one tiny little hole. You said, well, how could you be chayiv for drilling one tiny little hole? The chazal above the aklida. It could be that the tip of a key that has a very tiny edge to it could fit into that tiny little hole, and it can actually serve as a functional lock, an opening to be able to get into the door. So a tiny little hole might have a function. V'ikadamri, another version of this whole conversation was that Amar Rava afil b'shayim shlosh mekomos, that Rava's chiddush was the opposite, was that even if it's shnayim shlosh mekomos that get roasted to bishul gamur, and only when you're metstarif the shayim shlosha makomos, it equals a sheer grogros, even then you're going to be chayiv. So Ravina Ravashi, afananami tanina. So then Ravina said to Ravashi, we have a raya from the Mishnah in Shabbos. Because after all, the Mishnah says, hakodeach kol shu chayiv, that if you drill a tiny little hole, you're going to be chayiv. Well, hechidami, what do you think the case is? Ile makom echad kol shu l'may chazi. If it's all in one spot, what does a kol shu do for you? Elab b'shayim shlosha makomos to chazi l'tziruf. Must be that it's two or three places, and it's roi to be mitzarif, and the fact that it's right to be mitzarif makes it that you're going to be chayiv. So over here also, when you cook something, you cook a piece of meat on one side where two or three spots together would equal the sheer grogros, you're going to be chayiv. The parallel is not exactly correct, the Briskarov points out, right? In the shnayim shlosha kedichos, when you drill two or three little holes, still not functional, right? The only reason it's chazil tzaruf, it doesn't mean that you could be mitzarif this hole and that hole and that hole, now it's functional. It means that you're then going to drill more to combine the holes. Whereas over here we're saying by the roasting of the meat that if as long as you have a sheer grogros by combining all the teeny tiny bits that got cooked, that's called chazil tzarufi. So it's not exactly parallel, but it's really like a kal v'chomer that if you're even chayiv when it's chazil tzarufi, where you're going to have to do another maisa in order to be mitzareif, like by the case of drilling of the holes, then for sure you're going to be chayiv when it's chazil tzarufi on the case of the meat. But anyway, the Gemara says lo, it's not a good raya anyway. Liolam b'makom echad. Because the case of the drilling of the holes may be just one tiny little hole and you're chayiv to chazal b'avadak lidl, because as we pointed out in the first lashon, it's still functional. Even a single little tiny hole might actually be functional. Okay, so now we go back to the discussion of being mechametz menachos. Now that we took that detour into Hilcha Shabbos, now we're going to go back to menachos. So Tan Rabbanan, it says about the iser of being mechametz menachos, it says kol mincha asher takrivu la'ashem lo se oseh chametz. So the ilu nemar asher takriv l'Hashem lo se'aseh chametz. If it only would have said that asher takriv l'Hashem lo se'aseh chametz, so you see Omer ainli bil lo se'aseh chametz ela chametz b'lvad. I would say, you know which part of the korban mincha is subject to this iser of making it chametz? The kmitza of the korban mincha. But a mincha minayin. How do I know that prior to taking the kmitza, the whole mincha is subject to the iser of making it chametz? Tamalom. Mincha. That's why the pasuk says mincha. That it says kol hamincha asher takriv l'Hashem lo se'aseh chametz. So we see that the entire korban mincha, even before you take the kmitza, shar menachos minayin. How do I know that the yisur of chimutz applies not only to the minchas marcheshes, which the pasuk is speaking of, but to other menachos as well? Tabalomar kol hamincha. That kol is a riboy that it comes to include other menachos as well. Asher takriv l'Hashem, but it doesn't say every mincha. It says every mincha asher takriv. So from there we learn ksheira v'lopsula, that only a mincha that's kosher is subject to this iser, but a mincha that's already pasul anyway, how did it become pasul? It became tamei, it was yatzul chutz la'azara, whatever, it became pasul anyway, then there's no longer an iser of making it chametz. Mikan amru, ha-mechametz es ha-ksheira chayiv v'esa psula pater. And that's where they came to the conclusion that if you're mechametz ha-ksheira, you're going to be chayiv, but a psula, you're going to be pater. So again, how do I learn that? What's the limud that a pasul and mincha is not subject to the iser of chimutz? So Tosos and Daf Samach Amar Aleph explains that the limud is from the fact that it says, La Hashem, that only a mincha ksheira that goes la Hashem is included in the iser, but a mincha psula doesn't go la Hashem. You have to burn it. It's not gonna be used as a valid karban. So therefore, it's no longer included in the iser. However, the Kesef Mishnah Ma'aser Karbanos Parakid Beis Halacha Yates says no, it's a different limud. The way we know that mincha psula is not included is because it could have written kol mincha. The fact that it says kol ha mincha sounds like ha mincha hayadua, the mincha. The mincha meaning the kosher mincha, not the pasul mincha. So those are the two possibilities of what the drasha is, what the limud is. But either way, we come to the conclusion that a mincha psula is not subject to the isra of making it chametz. By Rav Papa, chimtza v'yatzis v'chazir v'chimtza. What if you were machmetz karban mincha, then it left the azara, so it became pasul after you had already made it chametz. So you're chayiv for making chametz in the first place. Then it left the azara, and then you baked it b'chimut. chimutz. So we know that the isra of chimutz applies to each step of the process. But by the time you baked it, it was already pasul. So mahu, what's the din? Do we assume kimin diatzasif slobiyotze v'chad machmetz la l'mechayev v'lo mishum machmetz achar mechamitz? Do we assume that once it was pasul biyotze, you're no longer going to be subject to the isra of mechamitz achar mechamitz, of dealing with it b'chimutz in a later stage of the production? Or do we say no, that once it had initially become chametz, it's no longer subject to the psul yotzei? The psul yotzei doesn't have any impact on it because it's possible anyway, since it's chametz, and therefore it is subject to mechametz achar mechametz. So it would be just like any other case where it's already possible on account of it becoming chametz, and yet you're still chayev for doing the aricha bechimutz and the afia bechimutz and the every step bechimutz. So take with the Gemara is not sure, leaves that unresolved. Another shayla that we're going to leave unresolved. By Rav Mari, chimtza barosh shel mizbeach. Let's say you're mechametz the kometz of the mincha when it's already on the mizbeach. You're ready on top of the mizbeach to be maktirit. So mahu? Do we assume that mechametz that you're chayiv for being mechametz a mincha even at that late stage or not? So why not? Because the pasuk says asher takrivu amarachmana, that Hashem says that you're not allowed to make that which is asher takrivu into chametz. So it sounds like that which you're going to be makriv v'ha ikriva, but this one you were already makriv. O dilma muchusraktar kumuchusamaisadami. Or maybe no. Maybe we say that since it hasn't yet been burnt on the fire, it's still not considered that it was already hukrev, and therefore you are going to be chayiv for making it chametz. Take who the Gemara leaves that unresolved as well. So those are our two shailas that we leave unresolved. One about you were mechametz it, then it was yotze, and then you were mechametz it further. And the other about if you're mechametz the kometz on the Rosh Hashanah Mizbeach. So says Gemara, v'ash nafkalei mikol hamincha. Once we learn from the Brisa, from the phrase kol hamincha, that there's an isra chimutz not only on the kometz, but on the entire mincha, even before you take the kmitza, you're not allowed to be mechametz the mincha, asher takrivu lameli. What do we really learn from the words asher takrivu? L'chora, the words asher takrivu sound like it's only on the kometz that you have a chiyuv of chimutz, because it's asher takrivu, it's the part that you're going to bring on the mizbeach, which is the kmitza. So, but we already know from the other phrase in the pasuk that it's not just the kmitza, that the whole mincha is subject to the isra of chimutz. So what's asher takrivu teaching me? It can't be just the kmitza. So I answer Gemara, mi bayli l'chadetai. We need it for one of the following two drushas, two opinions, what we learn from Asher Takrivu. Number one is Asher Takrivu l'rabos minchas nesachim l'chimutz div Rabbi Yosei Aglili. Rabbi Yosei Aglili tells us that minchas nesachim, which the shirayim do not go to kohanim, you're chayiv mishum chimutz, that even though the whole thing goes on the mizbeach, so the isra chimutz is initially stated only by menachos where the shirayim go to kohanim. So it's telling us even in a kabbal mincha where the shirayim don't go to kohanim, where the entire to mincha and sachem, the whole thing goes on the mizbeach, that there's going to be an isra of chimutz. Rabbi Kiva Amar l'rabbi sachem apanim l'chimutz. That even though there's no kmitza taken from the lechem apanim, so there is no chelek that goes to mizbeach, the whole thing goes to the kohanim. So even that is subject to chimutz. So it's in two opposite directions. What we learn from Asher Takrivu, either we learn because the isra of being mechametz is said about a typical karb mincha where some of it gets burnt on the mizbeach, namely the kometz, and the rest of it gets eaten by kohanim, namely the shirayim. So Asher Takrivu is coming to tell me either a karb mincha that's entirely eaten by kohanim, namely the lechem apanim, or a carbon mincha that's entirely on the mizbeach, namely a minchas nesachim. So that is the machlokas. So minchas nesachim may perosem. Says Gemara, what do you mean? There's an isra of being of making chimutz on minchas nesachim. How could that be? Minchas nesachim has three lug of shemen in it. And there's no water in minchas nesachim. Shemen is meperos, and meperos in machmitzin. Meperos do not make something into chametz. So there's no possibility of chimutz on minchas nesachim. Possibility of chimutz only exists when water is introduced to flour. There is no water introduced to flour on a minchas nesachim. Other minachos where we have an isra of chimutz, we don't have this kasha because there's not so much oil, so it's sort of understood that along with the oil there's going to be some water as well. And if there's some water as well, then that seems to be that it could it could lead to chimutz. Now Tosos raises the question that I'm sorry, the Achronim raised the question that wait a second, on other on on a Minchas Nesachim, which has a lot of May Peros, so granted, it shouldn't become Chametz from that perspective, but the Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Hilchos Pesach and some in Tav Samach Beis, Siv Zayin, that if you introduce salt to flour, and that can also be Machmetz the dough. So if you have a mixture of flour and oil, and then you put salt in, salt can also generate Chibutz. And they did have salt. Salt they had on every single carbon. So the Marsham points out that the melech that they used was salt that they mined. And that kind of salt is not machmitz. The Magen Avraham writes, there's a difference between melech salt that's from desalinated water and salt that you would mine out of the ground. That only one of them will be machmitz, not the other. So anyway, so says the Gemara. No, Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds that even the Minchas Nesachim you mix water in, and therefore it is subject to chimutz, and that's why you need to tell me that there's an isser of being mechametz even Minchas Nesachim. And Rabbi Akiva disagrees, and he holds that they don't put any water, and therefore it's not shaya chimutz, and that's why he cannot be marbe Minchas Nesachim from Asher Takrivu. He has to be marbe lechem apanim instead, right? That's how Rabbi Kiva will learn. Now, this idea of chimutz of mei peros, whether mei peros combined with water will generate chimutz, we already discussed is a major machlokas rishonim. That there are some rishonim that hold that mei peros alone is not machmitz at all, but when you put mayim together with mei peros, it still won't be machmitz fully, but will at least make it chametz nuksha. Where others hold that without mayim, it will become chametz nuksha. With mei peros alone, it becomes chametz nuksha, and with mayim, it becomes Chametz Gomor. So Tosfos on Nun Gimel Amud Beis quoted Rabbeinu Tam that proved that Mei Peros with Mayim is going to be Machmitz, and without Mayim is not Machmitz at all, from the fact that the Gemara over here says that Menachos are only Shayachimutz if you're Megabal B'Mayim. So it sounds like without Mayim, zero. There's no Chimutz whatsoever. Not even Chametz Nuksha. Because Legabe Menachos, Chametz Nuksha is already a violation of the Yisr. Legabe Menachos, you don't need it to get to Chametz Gomor to violate the Yisr. And we're saying that without water, there's no violation of the Yisr. So Rabbeinu Tam says, you see that without water, there's no chimutz whatsoever, not even on a chametz nuksha level. And then Tosfos says, nah, that which we say over here, that menachos are only subject to a problem when you're megabel b'mayim, and otherwise it would not be lead to chimutz, is not really a riot to Rabbeinu Tam that mei peros alone doesn't even generate chametz nuksha, doesn't do anything, because it could be that the Gemara over here is assuming like the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that chametz nuksha is mutter by menachos, and not like the sheet of the chametz nuksha is a problem for menachos. So if you hold that chametz nuksha is mutter for menachos, so the Gemara is saying, yeah, when you have only mei peros, what's going to happen already? Chametz nuksha is not a problem for menachos, but it could be that it does lead to chametz nuksha, right? This is the whole issue of having grape juice matzah or apple juice matzah or any matzah ashira is not only an issue in terms of the seder, but it's an issue of chametz, that if you hold like those we showed him, that when you have pure mei peros that mixed with flour, that it could become chametz nuksha. So it's asur midrabanan to eat such a thing. Whereas if you hold like those Rishonim, that zero, nothing happens when you put in just mei peros without combining any water in. So then such matzahs are perfectly kosher. So that's a major machlokas lahalacha. Okay, so says Gemara. So what did Rabbi Akiva learn? That lechem apanim, that there's an isra of chimutz on the lechem apanim. So says Gemara, lechem apanim midas yaveshi. Wait just a second. The way that we'd measure out the lechem apanim was with a dry measure. V'shamana le Rabbi Akiva midas yaveshi on skacha. Rabbi Kiva himself holds that on Daf Tzadi later in the Masechta that which they would measure dry things with in the Beis HaMikdash were not Klei Shares. They were never Niskadesh with the Shemen HaMishcha. And Mimela, when you measure the flour for the Lechem Apanim in such measuring utensils, it does not become Kadosh yet. So therefore, it only becomes Kadosh when you put it on the Shulchan way later. So it didn't have a Shem Kabar Mincha until you put it on the Shulchan. So there should be no Isra of Chimutz until way later until you put it on the shulchan, where it can't become chametz anymore because it's already fully baked at that point. So there's no what are you talking about an issur of chibutz on lechem apanim? Prior to putting it on the shulchan, it's not lechem apanim. It's not. It's got no kedusha whatsoever. It's not a korban milcha, so there is no issur of chibutz. By the time you're putting it on the shulchan, you can't be mechametz it. It's already fully baked. So what's Rabbi Akiva talking about? That we have that we're learning from Asher Takrivu that lechem apanim is also included in the issur of chimutz. So that's it's a major question. Actually, the Tosfos raises the question that even according to Rabbi Akiva, it should be shay chimutz because there are those that hold that the tanur is mekadesh misha shekarmu pnei hapas betanur. Meaning we're saying the shulchan is the only thing that's ever going to be mekadesh. So prior to that, there's no. What about the tanur? When it's in the oven, is a kli sharis, and that will be mekadeshit. So as soon as it has krim aspanim, as soon as it starts to crust on the outside, it can it becomes kadosh, it becomes a karban mincha. So even Rabbi Akiva should hold that way. Misha shekarmu pnei lechem betanur, it's mekadeshit, and then it could be bali de chimutz, and that could be the isra of chimutz of lechem apanim. So says tells us, you see from here that misha karmu pnei isra betanur, it can't become chametz either. Meaning at what point we say it's baked enough that chimutz cannot happen anymore, that's when it already crusts in the oven. So he says Tosos, and from there we see the same is true by Matzah and Pesach, that once it's karmel pnei isa betanur, then you have no chashash of chimutz, because if you did have a chashash of chimutz, the Gemara's kasha here makes no sense. So it must be that there's no chashash of, just like it becomes kadosh as lechem apanim when it's karmel pnei betanur, it also likewise can no longer become chametz, physically can no longer become chametz once it's karmel pnei betanur, and the same is true for chametz and Pesach, to know that it will never, and that's what Shulchan Aruch paskins in Siman Tav Samach Aleph, matzah that gets baked until the point where if you pull it apart, you're not going to see strings that come out of it, that it's not going to stretch, it just pulls apart because there's no raw dough in there, is fully baked and is no longer subject to chimutz. So Tosfos writes, that's the same shear as karmel pnei betanur, that it must be that that's the same shear because that's the gedder of what will become chametz. Right? That's the issue with the why you have to be so careful when you make soft matzahs. The Sfardim, some Sfardim use soft matzahs instead of the hard brittle matzahs that we have. So the brittle matzahs that we have, you don't have this issue of it gets stringy when you pull it apart, because it can't. It's a cracker. It just crumbles when you pull it apart. So you know that it's not chametz. With the soft matzahs, they need to be careful, because if they're going to keep it soft, it has to rip in a way where it doesn't get stringy when you pull it apart. If it does, then you have a real chashash chimutz. So you really need to know what you're doing when you're. We have Rav Shachter holds that an Ashkenazi is allowed to eat soft matzah also. So he said, but you have to trust the ashkacha. It's got to be a really good ashkacha on the soft matzah, because you have to really know what you're doing in order to make sure that it's not. I mean, on hard matzahs, you should also have a good ashkacha, but you know, it seems higher risk. On the soft matzahs. Okay, so. Says Gemara, Shalach Mishmei de Rabbi Yochanan, Kachi Yatzar Shal Mishnah. The Girsa of the Brisa, like we said, is has to be changed a little bit. The Epoch, you have to switch it around. The Shitos of Tanaim need to be switched around, because we had this Kasha on Rabbi Akiva. We said, I don't understand, Rabbi Akiva, how can you be Marbe Lechem Apanim for the Yisra of Chimutz? Lechem Apanim can never become Chametz, because it only becomes Lechem Apanim after it's already already baked, where it can't be chametz. So the epoch, you have to switch around. Asher takrivu l'rabos lechem apanim l'chimutz tiv Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Rabbi Yosi Aglili holds that lechem apanim is what's subject to the yisur of chimutz. Rabbi Akiva l'rabos minchas nesachim l'chimutz, and it's Rabbi Akiva who learns that it's minchas nesachim. And Rabbi Yosi Aglili holds that midas hayavesh is something that could be that is kadosh and could already give it the status of lechem apanim. It's only Rabbi Akiva that holds that when they're measuring out the flour for the lechem apanim, it's in kalim that are not kadosh and are not klei sharis, that will not give it any kedusha, and therefore can't be subject to the issur of chimutz yet. But Rabbi Yosi Aglili holds that they are kadosh and they will give it a status of kedusha. Vaz Rabbi Yochanan Tamei, and this is Rabbi Yochanan when he switches around these girsos. This is l'shitaso in his understanding of Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Dam Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yosi Aglili vechem tamid Rabbi Shmuel amr davarachon amon Rabbi Yoshia. The Rabbi Yosi Aglili and Rabbi Yoshia, the Talmud of Rabbi Shmuel, say the same thing. Did Tanya, because it says in the Brisa, when when they finished their Hakamas HaMishkan, Vayimashchem Vayikadeshosam, that Moshe Rabbeinu was anointed the Mizbeach and its Kelim with Shemen HaMishcha, and thereby he was Mekadesh them. So Rabbi Yoshi Yomer, Midas Halach, Nimshach Ben Mibachutz, those Kelim that were meant to hold liquids were Nimshach both on the inside and outside, Midas Yavish, but those Kelim that were only meant to hold dry things, like Solas HaMenachos, were Nimshach Mibifnim Vein Nimshach Mibachutz, were only anointed on the inside, but not on the outside of the Kelim. Rabbi Yonah Sanomer, Midas Halach, Nimshach Mibifnim Vein Nimshach Mibachutz, Midas Yavish, Lo Nimshach Kalikr, that Midas Halach were Nimshach only Bifnim and not Mibachutz, and Midas Yavish were not Nimshach at all. So Tedalcha, Sharei Ein Mekadeshes, and I'll prove to you that the Midas HaYavish were not Nimshach at all, because it's not Mekadesh anything. Tichsiv, because the Pasuk says about the Shtei Alechem and Shavuos, Mimo Shvoseichem Taviyu Lechem Tenufa Shtayim Shnei Yisron Masolos Tiyenu Chamitz Teyafena Bikurim LaHashem. So we darshan from the fact that it says Bikurim LaHashem only after Teyafena, Emes Hayhein LaHashem, when are they holy? La'ach Shnefu, only after they've already been baked, because the first Kli Sharis they've ever been introduced to is the oven. Prior to that it was Midas Yavesh. Midas Yavesh are not holy at all. So it turns out that Rabbi Yoshi holds that Kli HaYavesh are holy because they are Nimshach Mibifnim. Rabbi Yochanan says that that's Rabbi Yossi Aglili's opinion as well. So Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Yoshia say the same thing. Rabbi Yonasan disagrees and he holds that the Midas Yavish are not holy. That's like Rabbi Akiva who holds that the Midas Yavish are not holy. So B'maika Miflgi, what is this machlokas about between Rabbi Yoshia and Rabbi Yonasan about whether they did the Mashicha on Midas Yavish as well, at least Mibifnim, and whether on the Midas Halach they did only Mibifnim or Mibachutz as well? Because it says ba'usam, the drush is vayimshachem vayikadesh osam. So Rabbi Yoshi is sover osam l'mutim midas yavesh. That osam is l'mutim midas yavesh bechutz. Osam is coming to tell me that they were not fully, they did not fully anoint the midas yavesh. They didn't do it bechutz. Rabbi Yonasan sover midas yavesh cholu v'lo tzrukar l'mutim. No, midas yavesh is mundane. It is not kadosh at all. I don't need a pasuk to tell me they didn't do a mashiach on the midas yavesh. Of course they didn't. Osam is telling me that even on the Midas Lach they only did the Mashiach Mibifnim and not Mibachutz. So they menami Rabbi Kivach Mitamid Rabbi Shmuel Lamed Avrachalman Rabbi Yonasan. Well, just like we said Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Yoshia line up, why don't we also point out that Rabbi Akiva lines up with Rabbi Yonasan, that they both hold that a Midas Yavesh is not Nimshach at all. So says Mar Mishum Tulashavim B'Midas Lach La'adadi. Because you're right, they both agree about Midas Yavesh that it's not Nimshach at all, but they disagree about Midas Lach, according to Rabbi Yonasan, Midas Lach was only Niskadish Mibifnim and not Mibachutz. Rabbi Akiva holds Midas Lach were Nimshach both Mibifnim and Mibachutz. So they do not perfectly align, even though they do align with regard to Midas Yavesh. Well, wait a second, by the Lechem Apanim, when they knead the dough, aren't they kneading the dough in a Bisa, which is a Midas Lach, and therefore it should be Mekadish the dough at that point, and it should be subject to Chimitz there? So that the case is that they needed the dough on a piece of leather. It's not a kli sharis at all. It's not even a kli. Well, if that's the case, that there's a chilik between whether they needed the dough on a biso or a katvulya, to come to Rabbi Yonasan, when Rabbi Yonasan makes his point that a kli yavesh is not makadish from the mashmas pasuk that the shtei alechem is not niskadish until the afia, Rabbi Yoshia could have responded and said, maybe that's talking about where they measured it in a mundane kli that holds an isaron. Just like there's a chilik between the kli that you need the dough in, whether it's going to be kaddish or not. So there's a chilik between what kli you're modeed in. So it says Marano, hachi hashta. You can't compare the two. Bishlam of bisa lo kasrachman of bisa lemelishbe. When it comes to the kneading of the dough, the Torah never says to knead the dough in a kli shari is called a bisa. So kilash al gabi katvul. So you do nothing wrong when you knead the dough on a katvulya, on a piece of leather. But a kli isaron that they use for measuring is mentioned in the Torah. So shavik isaron dekodesh v'kayil b'isaron dechol. You're going to say that you're going to set aside a clay medida that's kodesh, and you're instead going to use a clay medida that's chol. So that's the point. So tan rabbanan, new issue having nothing to do with anything we just learned. Minayin the Mibasar Chatas and Mibasar Rasham. How do I know that if you burn on the Mizbeach meat from the Karban Chatas, meat from the Karban Rasham, Mibasar Kachikachim, meat from Kachikachim, all of which are supposed to be eaten by Kohanim and are not supposed to be burnt, Umikachim Kalim, Umimosara Omer, or that which is left over after you take the Kemitza from the Karban Omer, Umimosar Shtei Lechem, or that which is left over from the Shtei Lechem, Umilechem Apanim, or you burn from the Lechem Apanim, Umishiyare Menachos, or that which is the Shirai of the Menachos. How do I know that if you burn all of these parts of Karbanos that are supposed to be eaten, Shu Belos HaSei, that you're in violation of Belos HaSei? Tamalomer Ki Chol Sa'ar V'Chol Devash Lo Saktir Mimenu Isha LaHashem. And we darshan Kol Shu Mimenu Li'ishim Harei Bebal Taktiru. Any Karban that part of it is supposed to get burnt on the Mizbeach, when you burn part of it that's not supposed to get burnt on the Mizbeach, it's a violation of Belos HaSei. And that includes all these things. So it says, wait a second. Is there a part of the Shtei Alechem Alechem Apanim that gets burnt on the Mizbeach? The Shtei Alechem Alechem Apanim get eaten entirely. Vatanya, didn't the Brisa tell us, Yatzu Shtei Alechem Alechem Apanim Shein Meim Li'ishim? When it talks about the mitzvah of Hagasha, of bringing the carbon to the Keren Dromos Ma'arovus on the Mizbeach, it says, we exclude Shtei Alechem Alechem Apanim because there's no part of it that goes Li'ishim. So isn't that the paradigmatic example of a carbon that no part of it goes Li'ishim? How can you now say that Lechem Apanim and Shtei Alechem, that part of it goes Li'ishim? Rav Sheshes answers, Ein migufa li'ishim. The Shtei Alechem Alechem Apanim don't have any part of its physical, you know, being, the Shtei Alechem Alechem Apanim itself, that gets burnt on the Mizbeach. But there is that which is matir them that gets burnt on the Mizbeach, namely the Bezichei Levona, which is matir the Lechem Apanim, and the Kivsei Atzeres, which are matir the Shtei Alechem, that's considered in some ways a part of the Karban, and it gets burnt on the Mizbeach, and therefore the Shtei Alechem and the Lechem Apanim are subject to the Isser of Kol Shem Imenu Li'ishim. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Itmar. Everyone have a great day.